In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we continue in the presence of the Holy Ghost? Luke 19 verse 10. Luke 19 verse 10. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. That is my sermon today. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Every time in the New Testament, Jesus introduced himself as the Son of Man. Ben, Adam, I share in your humanity. That's what it means. I shared in your humanity. I left my throne in heaven. I came down into this earth to share in your pain. To understand what it feels like to go through sorrow and heartache. God wanted to feel how we felt. That's why Jesus is not self-proclaimed. He never claimed to be anything other than the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Because he wanted people to realize that I'm here with you. I'm here with you. I have come to experience how you sleep, how you wake up, how you go to bed. What makes you struggle with sin? I want to know so that I can deliver you from it. Hallelujah. In that verse, the second thing Jesus introduced himself is Savior. I have come to save. Hallelujah. As we go out in evangelism this week, one of the hardest questions you will get is, why do I need Jesus? Hallelujah. The second hardest question you will get is, if God is so good, why is there so much evil in the world? Hallelujah. That's arguably the hardest question you will get in evangelism. Because you only get 1 minute of the person's attention. And they want you to give a definitive answer. Praise the Lord. Hopefully in this sermon, you might find some answers. In the story that I introduced to us, the story of Zacchaeus from verse 1 to 19, the Bible says there was a rich man called Zacchaeus. He was the chief of tax collectors. And the question I ask the Holy Spirit is, what is Jesus doing with rich people? Hallelujah. Why do I need Jesus? Does a rich man need Jesus? Praise God. He was wealthy, 19 verse 1. He had everything you could think of. The Bible says he was chief tax collector. That means he had risen to the height of his career. As a level of chief tax collector, you no longer go out to collect the tax yourself. You have junior tax collectors under you that will go out. So as a chief tax collector, his main duty was to bid for collecting tax for the Roman government. And when he gets that bid, he will charge the people taxes and return some to the Romans. So people hated him because he would charge them so high, but give the Roman government little, and he would keep the rest from himself. If you ever wondered why they hated tax collectors in the Bible, that's why. Is that not the same with many, 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 many of us? You start a business, you inflate the figures. The cost of production is £10. You sell it at 100 just because people need it. You are a tax collector. Hallelujah. And you need Jesus. He was very rich. Verse 3. Bible says he was looking for Jesus. And the next question I ask the Holy Spirit is, why is he looking for you? Does he not have everything he needs? Does money not solve every problem? How can you be this rich and be looking for Jesus? What could be missing in a rich man's life? Many Christians are like this. They are aspiring to that level of wealth. But let me tell you, even wealthy people need Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He was looking for him. How do I know? The Bible says he could not find him. Everywhere Jesus went, there were people, crowds of people who followed Jesus everywhere. If you are not careful, people will push you and stamp upon you because they wanted Jesus. Hallelujah. Not only that, he was very short. So even if he could stand from afar to see Jesus, he could not because he was like this. Praise God. Why doesn't he just go home and give up? Right? He was rich. He lacked for nothing. Bible says he noticed that I can't see Jesus this way. Let me run ahead, verse 4, and climb on a tree. Maybe I will see Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus knew Zacchaeus? Praise the Lord. That was not the first day Jesus knew about Zacchaeus. If you are the chief tax collector, everybody will know you. Even if they've never seen you before, they would have heard about you. If you are the chief tax collector, you are likely not to have friends. Somebody sang, "It's lonely at the top." You need to get to the top to know how lonely it is. You will struggle with your new friends. Because everybody that approaches you, you think they are approaching you for your money. Praise God. He possibly lacked friends. Because not only was he cheating people, he was also the tax collector. So if he came to you, what will you do? He said, "Be careful. Be careful. You know how you do around police when you are doing what is not right. If you have been driving around without driver's license and you just see the police car, you just adjust yourself. Because you have not gotten your driver's license." Praise the Lord. That's how people were with Zacchaeus. Everywhere he goes, nobody can be original with him. He possibly lacked friends. He had all this money, but deep down in his heart, he didn't have Jesus. Hallelujah. The thing that a rich man might need might be different from what you need, but they still need Jesus. The reason they need Jesus might be different from what you need Jesus for, but they still need Jesus. You may need Jesus because you have problems. Some people need Jesus because they want happiness. They want meaning in life. They want to know that their life counts for something. To make the matters worse, he was called a sinner. Praise God. So everywhere we went, he said, "Watch out for him. That sinner is coming." Praise the Lord. What sin have I committed? I'm just doing business, right? When you inflate your own prices too, are you not just doing business? Praise God. That was what Zacchaeus was doing. He was maximizing profit. I'm not justifying his sin. Praise God. But I'm just saying that he was like any other person who is trying to maximize their profit. But everywhere he went, they would say, "Oh, look at that sinner." In fact, they prayed with him. Praise God. They use him in prayer points. In Luke 15, the Bible says there was a Pharisee that went to church, and a tax collector also went to church. And the Pharisee started praying and said, "God, you know me. I serve you very well. I'm not like these extortioners. I'm not like these sinners. And this tax collector." So he couldn't go to church. Hallelujah. When people who are burdened with their sin are supposed to come into the house of God and find love and comfort, they find Christians who will only judge them, who will only use them in prayer points. They come to church, they want to find love, but they find a loveless church. They walk in and they see the way people relate with each other, angry, frowning. "There's no joy here. Why should I sit here? I'm looking for joy in my life, and I've come here and everybody is frowning." Surely Jesus doesn't give joy if we are all frowning. Praise God. Zacchaeus couldn't go to church. That's why he was looking for Jesus. Because the people he could have spoken to them about Jesus could not come near him. The best thing to have gone to would have been the Pharisee. "You seem to know a lot about God in your head. Show me." But, "Oh, that's a sin now." That's what we do too. We see people burdened with drugs, burdened with alcoholism, all kinds of problems in the world. They are just sinners. How can they possibly need Jesus? Look at them. They have food to eat. They have work to do. We are even in the West. If you go to Tesco, there's food there. They don't have any problem. They cannot need Jesus. So how do they identify with Christ that we have not shown them? My sermon today is called Identify with Christ. Identify with Christ. Hallelujah. The first point I want to make is identity. Leave it in the Bible verse. Identity. Praise the Lord. What is your identity in Christ? Praise God. You know, I was coming from Amsterdam in 2023. And the conference was going to end at 4 p.m. And I was enjoying it. I forgot to calculate the amount of time I would need at Border Patrol. Has that ever happened to you? For some reason, you forgot that you need to add 2 hours for you to be passed at Border Patrol. So I got to the... When I left, I certainly remember, oh, I need more time than I have. My flight was 6 p.m. I got to the airport 5. I was trying to hurry everybody. Hurry everybody. Nobody was minding me because they have to do their job. In fact, that was the day they asked me to enter into that thing. If you have ever been to Amsterdam airport, their own is not just like this. There's one big thing like this that will scan you from top to bottom. Long story short, I missed my flight. Do you know something that happened? When I was waiting, you know you queue now, if you know, depending on your passport, right? You got that. Depending on your passport, if I had another type of passport, I would not have missed my flight. Because while I stood there, doing like this, I just saw some people, they would just enter and go. No queue. What was the difference? Huh? Identity. Identity. Hallelujah. Point number one made. Praise God. Identity. If I had the blue passport, I would have been on the other side. And I would have enjoyed everything that the other side offered. Easy access, right? Treated better, right? You know, many of us are still waiting for our passports, right? The blue one, not the green one. Because you know that when you get the blue one, you can book any flight at any time, right? When you get to Border Patrol, you have nothing to fear. It doesn't matter whether they like your color, they like your height, they like your face. What do you have that they must respect? Identity. Praise the Lord. Now, let's imagine that I have green and I have blue. Right? I have double identity. And I got to the Amsterdam airport and I still stayed in the green queue. What will happen? I'm not disparaging any country. But there's a difference between the blue and the green. What is my point? My point is that Jesus gives us our identity. It doesn't matter if you have been committing sin before, you have been living recklessly before. The moment you give your life to Christ, you have a new identity in Christ. So your thinking should change. Praise the Lord. You should stop thinking in your past. Stop thinking in your past. Stop replenishing yourself by your past. When you have Jesus, who forgave all your sins, praise the Lord, you have a new identity in Christ. You have the blue passport. You have easy access to God. You have access to His presence. But what is common is that we don't use our identity. We don't identify with Christ. You can have something and not identify with it. I can have a blue passport and still use my old life and still live the way I used to live and still talk the way I used to talk and still behave the way I used to behave and still shout at people the way I used to shout. My identity has changed, but I have not identified with it. That's the challenge of many Christians. They have not identified with the Christ that changed their identity. It could be many reasons. In fact, it could be genuine reasons. Sometimes we struggle with our old life. After all, we grew up that way. Right? Somebody here will ask an African why they may be a bit... They grew up that way. They don't know other life. They had to survive. So it is baked into their system to reason and to behave the way they do. So even though they have a new identity in Christ, they are not yet identifying with all that Christ has done for them. Because they are used to their old ways. Their old ways also offer them some opportunities to continue in sin, right? To do things anyhow you want. Because the day you choose to identify with Christ, you know a lot of things has to change. Even in the passport story, the color changes. Praise God. So sometimes we stay in the old identity because it is comfortable for how we want to live. Praise God. My call to you this morning is identify with Christ. Move. Release yourself. Release yourself. You know, I struggled with a particular addiction for a long time. When I was 14 years old, a friend took me to the cyber cafe. I'd never seen a computer in my life. And he said, "Oh, come, follow me." And I followed him. And he opened that thing. And from that day, as a teenager, I struggled with it. I was the child of a Sunday school teacher. My dad was a Sunday school teacher. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. I had the Bible here, but I didn't have it here. Even when I gave my life to Christ, I had it here, but I had wars to fight to move from the old identity into the new one. Praise God. So some people genuinely have struggles. Do you want to know what I did? I did three things. Number one, I released myself completely. If you are listening to me, you are struggling with something, even though you are a Christian, but you are still struggling with it, and everybody knows they are struggling. The first way out is to release yourself completely. Completely. Surrender it all. Everything. Your justifications, your... You know, sometimes the devil will tell you that, oh, if this thing is happening over and over again, maybe that's just who you are. Maybe that's just who you are. Maybe that's just the way you are wired, right? So many lies that the devil will load into your head. Even with the new identity, he wants you to stay in the old life. The only solution is to release yourself completely. How do you do that? You rid yourself of everything that draws you into that sinful nature. Because what Jesus gave you is the power to be free from the sinful nature, not the attractions of it. Praise God. And if you don't release yourself unto the Holy Spirit, unto Jesus, you will never overcome those attractions, even though you have the power. Praise God. So you get rid of everything, any iota of thing in your life that attracts you to that sin you are struggling with. It needs to go. In my own case, I needed to unfollow everything unfollowable. You know, a friend of mine at the office, he asked me to escort him to one of his properties. So I did. So he said, "Okay, where's your phone?" I gave him my phone. "I want to play music. I want to hear Nigerian music. It's Zimbabwean. I love Zimbabweans. I want to hear Nigerian music. You know all those music?" I said, "In my phone?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You will not find it." He said, "You don't listen to it?" I said, "I don't." "Really?" And he started scrolling. I said, "You will not find it." It's the sacrifice I made to identify with Christ. Getting rid of all of those things is a sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you offer. Offering is not just money. Offer your habits. Offer your lifestyle. Offer those things you like. I know you like the music because I used to like it too. And the world is so good now, they will algorithmize it to you. When it is released, it will pop up on your phone. And you know you are struggling with it. You are struggling with sinful pleasures. You are struggling with attractions to sin. You are struggling with temptations. but you harbor the things that make it easy for you to fall back into it. You are not identifying yet with Christ. Praise the Lord. Release completely. When Jesus got to his place, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. You have to come down. Some of us have lifted ourselves into our excuses. We are on a tree. Jesus cannot reach us. Praise the Lord. We don't want to come down. You know, when you're on top of a tree, the breeze is nice. Do you know? Have you ever climbed a tree before? The breeze is different. What's your own breeze? What are your own reasons for staying where you are? Oh, but I like this friend. She's so nice. But she takes you to places where you commit sin. One thing we have to give for the other is either she changes or you move on. Because you cannot identify with the world and equally identify with Christ. Praise the Lord. Release yourself. The second thing I needed to do was to lay hold on the Word of God and pray. I found every scripture that says, that tells me about my new identity in Christ. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free. Every time that challenge comes, I will open the Word of God and say, it is for freedom that Christ has set me free. I can no longer be bound by any chain of darkness. Every time that condemnation comes, I will say Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those words, they became real to me because I needed to be free. I wanted to be free. Do you want to be free? Do we really want to identify with Christ? Because we are talking about evangelism now, and the people that should show the world Christ are yet to fully identify with that Christ. The easiest evangelism should just be the way I live. It should not be until I go to Templar Square on Saturday and start talking. It should just be that somebody sees me and says, my life is different. You are not just nice. You have something I don't have. Hallelujah. I lay hold on the Word of God to free myself. Yes, I kept at it. Even when I make mistake, I will still come back and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm going to be free of this. Did I cut it? No. But was it a challenge? Yes. But did I decide to do something about it? Yes, as well. It doesn't matter what you have experienced in the past. Once you've given your life to Christ, Christ has redeemed you from that power of that sin. But you must identify with Christ. You must embrace all that Christ has for you. Part of that embrace is that you let go of some things. Praise God. Part of that embrace is that you go closer to Him in your relationship every day. You know, when we hug people, there are different types of hug. How many of us know? The first type of hug, full hug. Another one? No, before you get to side, there's the one you do like this. You can call that one partial hug. Partial. And then there's side hug. And then there's handshake. Right? And then there's those that are different experiences of the same person in front of you, but they don't feel the same way. Full hug is different from handshake. There are times in life that all you need is a hug. Handshake will not do it. Praise God. So if we bring that into our relationship with Christ Jesus, what are you enjoying? Handshake or full hug? Praise the Lord. We have to grow. You know, there are some questions that you will only be able to answer when you have grown in Christ. If somebody asks you, why do I need Jesus? If you don't have a valid reason why you needed Jesus, what are you going to tell the person? If you live as though you don't need Jesus, how are you going to convince somebody else to need Jesus? I don't know if you are following me. Many of us want Jesus. But we don't live like we need him. And the question they will ask you is, why do I need Jesus? Not, why do I want Jesus? I have money. I have a good job. I have a good life. I'm nicer than you by the look of it. I give to charity. Maybe you don't. I volunteer at charities. Maybe you don't. So why do I need Jesus? Praise the Lord. For you to have an answer to that, it takes somebody who has embraced Jesus to be able to answer that question. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, which verse are we? Come down. Come down. My time is up. Fantastic. The third thing I had to do, two more things. I had to stay on guard and fight. Today, if you give your life to Christ, I can promise you, he will free you from the power of sin. He will free you from that challenge. Zacchaeus was lost. That's my last point. He was lost. But nobody could relate with how lost he was. This would have been the time where rich Christians will reach out to him, because they can connect on riches. In order to correctly reach out to anybody, there must be something you can connect with them on. Evangelism 101. You must find something that connects you with that person. If somebody asked me, why do I need Jesus? Do you know what I would say? It depends on what you need. What do you need? And if they engage you in that conversation, you will get to a point where you realize what they need. And then you can find examples of how Jesus can meet that need. Praise the Lord. If somebody asks you, why is there so much evil in the world if God is good? Praise the Lord. It's a philosophical dilemma. They teach them in the universities. It's the same thing as asking, if I knew, what's his name? The guy that caused World War II in Germany. If I knew Hitler as a baby. So that's a question you can ask. If you knew Hitler as a baby, would you kill him to avoid all the atrocities it would cost? Or what would he do? So it's a philosophical dilemma. If I knew that somebody is going to commit evil in the future, should I stop it now? If I stop it now, will I not be killing an innocent child? It's a difficult question to answer. Praise the Lord. So there's so much evil in the world, not necessarily because God causes it. Many of it are the ones we have caused ourselves. And I'm not talking about the people who do evil. I'm introducing it to the person who will take away that evil. So you have to separate what they feel about Christians that they don't like away from Christ. What we preach is Christ. There may be followers of Christ who are not following him to show them enough examples. We have to pull them away from that experience and bring them to the experience they can have in Christ Jesus. That's a possible way to answer it. Would you kill baby Hitler? And they start answering. They will find out that, oh, I've just asked a difficult question. Praise God. It's not as straightforward as that. God is not the cause of all the evil. Even though there are natural causes of evil. So there is the social one, the one we cause ourselves as human, and there's the earthquakes. So why does God cause that one? Praise the Lord. The answer in Christ is that even when we die, there's a life after death. So dying now is not the end for a believer. Praise God. I can't go into it too much because I'm running out of time. I want us to pray this morning. Let's rise up and pray this morning. Let's rise up and pray this morning. All things you did for me, no need, Lord, help me to understand and fully embrace my identity in you. Help me to understand and fully embrace my identity in you. I want my life to be an example to another. I want my life to be a clear picture of what people can enjoy when they come to Christ. Help me to identify and embrace my identity in you. That's your prayer. Help me to embrace it fully. All of these things that I'm still holding on to, help me to drop them so that I can be a clear picture of Christ unto another. In the name of Jesus. Manda brato na kadala shata nende brade gede gede shata li brande leko shata. In Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer point number 2. Lord, help me to renew my love for you. Pour your love into my heart again. In Revelation 2 verse 7, Bible says you have forgotten your first love. I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Help me to renew my love for you. Pour your love into my heart again. In the name of Jesus, pour your love into my heart again, that I may spread this love to a dying world. Pour your love into my heart again, that I may be concerned about a dying world. Pour your love into my heart again, that I may be concerned for a dying world. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Final prayer. Lord, give me the courage to have a conversation about Christ with my friends. Give me the courage to have a conversation about Christ with my friend. Let us pray. Father, give us boldness. Father, give us courage. Father, strengthen our heart. Father, give us a word for our friends. Give us the boldness to initiate that conversation, to introduce Christ to the world, to introduce Christ in my conversations, to introduce Christ to my friend. Give me the courage. Those are the people that I can easily reach. Those are the people that will sit down and talk to me. Those are the people that will hear what I have to say. Lord, give me the courage to initiate a conversation about Christ with my friends. In the name of Jesus. Retabaka baratana nanaya. Embeledebele kuriana nashatana naya. All things you did for me, don't be enough. There are many people that are lost in the world. When we went to Bournemouth Beach, I lost my daughter. We were all playing in the beach. We were all there. 1 minute I saw her, the next minute I could not see her anymore. And if you know Bournemouth Beach in August, it's filled with hundreds of people. You can't imagine how I felt. Where is she? I asked the mom, where is she? I thought she was with you. I thought she was with you. I was broken. Has she gone into the water? Has the water washed her? Where can I find her? But a good Samaritan found a girl wandering. She was lost. She was trying to find her way back, but she couldn't. But somebody went and grabbed her and said, where is your parent? I don't know. Help me. And the lady started to look for us, for her. That is our job as Christians. To run to that child that is lost and hold their hand and say, what do you need? I can take you to Jesus. Sometimes we don't understand because we don't know what it feels to be lost. We don't understand the perils of lost people. We don't know what it feels to be lost. We ourselves don't know what it feels to lose something in a person. Jesus knows. That's why he went to Zacchaeus. He said, I will come to your house because you must be saved. You have a role to play in the kingdom. Matthew was like a tax collector. He wrote a Bible. He wrote scriptures. There's nobody that God does not want to save. Stop saying your boss doesn't need Jesus. He needs Jesus. Stop saying your neighbor doesn't need Jesus. They need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. I want you to pray and say, Lord, give me a passion for souls. Give me what it takes to understand that somebody is lost. Give me what it takes to understand that people who are lost, they are going to hell if they die. Explain it to me. Show me hell. Maybe you need to see it. Maybe you need to see what hell looks like. Help me, oh Lord. Give me a heart for souls. Help me to change myself so that I can help others change. Lord, give me a passion for the lost. Give me a passion for the lost. Jesus said there's a joy in heaven over one soul that repents. One soul means everything to God. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? It means that the whole world is not equal to a soul in the eyes of God. I want you to pray tonight and say, Lord, help me to understand what it is for a soul to be lost. In Jesus' name we have prayed.